This is Sunday Focus, a weekly public affairs program that looks at the topics affecting our society and the people who are making a change in the community each and every day. The people who have vision for the next generation. Sunday Focus presents new challenges for us, keeping you informed with topics of local and regional interest. Now the host of Sunday Focus, Christine Manica.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. Food and nutrition are essential to everyone. However, sometimes getting nutritious meals is not easily accessible. But there is a local farm and garden hoping to change this food insecurity narrative. It's called Grace Place Farm and Gardens. Their motto is farm to family. They are cultivating care and nourishment for the spirit, soul, and body. Grace Place loves what they do, and they are grateful to watch this vision unfold, blessing others one harvest at a time. Grace Place Farm and Gardens believes this garden is all thanks to God and his messages to take the leap of faith. The young farmers are trusting God, and yes, they are still learning as they grow. Joining us right now to tell us more about Grace Place Farm and Gardens is Mason Prescott. He is the farm director. Mason, good morning.
Good morning, Christine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the program. Now, before we get started, tell us about who you are and the farm director position with Grace Place.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be here and share more about it. So Grace Place Farm and Gardens is a part of Grace Place Church. It's an extension of one of our ministries and areas we want to be a blessing to the community. The farm director title more so is just means I'm helping run the farm and just be in charge of it. Traditionally, I didn't grow up farming or know a whole lot about this. It's been a lot of learning from YouTube University, as people like to call it. And but even more than that, has been awesome is getting to learn from a lot of local growers as well. So I've been making a lot of friends in the community who are doing this kind of thing, and getting to watch and see what others are doing has been really inspiring and encouraging a lot.
So going back to the very beginning, I guess, how did you come across Grace Ministries?
Sure thing. So I got connected with Grace Place Ministries back in 2013, and I got to know the man who runs it. His name's Daniel Newton. He's the pastor of the church now. But we met way back then, and it was a men's discipleship ministry at the time. And I got to kind of be a part of it as it was continuing to in the really budding stages and growing. So since then, it's a mission focused around discipling young adults, training them kind of up in what the Bible says of what it means to be a Christian. You know, like we hold God's word to be very important, and mm-hmm. believe it's our guide for living life here on earth. And so since then, it's a organization that gets to do a lot of outreach and work internally with the young adults that are part of it, but then also externally as well. So we do missions trips in Africa every year.
Oh, wow.
And we have a lot of connections around the world that we go and find where we can minister to and bless the body of Christ there. So one of the avenues and areas that in the last couple of years that we've come to do is to start a church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And one of the things when we were doing that and praying about what all that should look like, one of the things we were told to do is also to start a farm.
Hmm.
And that raised a lot of questions for me of like, wow, like what does that look like? And why are we doing this? And part of it is, I believe, to feed the community. I think it's also going to be a great avenue for the ministry to help be able to be a resource to do things like missions work in Africa. And we're actually in the process of looking to start some orphanages as well over there.
Oh.
And so it's been really, that's what really gets me excited, at least just to know like areas that we're in, dreams that we have to continue to grow for that this is going to be all woven together and a part of it.
On a side note,
sure thing.
Have you been to Africa?
Many times.
Okay.
Yes.
What did you do when you were out there?
When I'm out there, we take a team of around 40 to 50 people.
Oh my gosh.
Some people who have never been and some people who have been before and been like either alumni or connected with our ministry. And frankly, we have a lot of connections down there, so we get involved anywhere that we can. So whether it be just practically going to churches and worshiping with them on a Sunday or putting on a meeting in the evening time, to ministering to orphanages, to mm-hmm. schools, to the dumps, going out on the streets, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, praying for people. We believe that, you know, Jesus came to save, heal, deliver, and set free like people, and that's what salvation looks like. So we pray for the sick. We take care of the sick. Mm-hmm. We feed people. We get to have a lot of areas of influence as well. So whether that also looks like we've had a lot of favor with getting to go and have meetings and conversations with governmental leaders in South Africa and other business leaders. So we try to get involved in radio stations as well,
really?
Too. Yeah, I've spoken on the radio a lot of times in Africa, too. And just really the goal is to be able to spread God's love and to, you know, build this kingdom here on earth. So I think a lot of that looks like, one, sharing the good news, but then two, also practically looking at where can you help and where can you love? Because we live in a world that's hurting and broken, and Jesus came to love and heal. And so that's why I believe it's something we get to do. So
coming from Iowa,
yes.
Long way away from Africa, by the
yes.
way, what was probably the biggest culture shock when you got out there?
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is something I always share with people because to me it's so silly, but something that really stood out to me, the lack of ease of finding a trash can.
Really?
It's very silly. So like you go into any normal building or room and stuff, like in America, you can be pretty confident you'll find a waste bin on the corner.
Oh, yeah,
or something.
Under my desk here. Yeah.
Exactly. I remember the first couple times I had trash, I was like, oh, I need to throw this away. And it's like, I'm looking everywhere. I'm like, there's no trash cans anywhere. I'm carrying this around in my pocket like all day waiting to find a place to throw it away. But the conversely on the other side, what's incredible is the people because they are so welcoming, so loving. They have such a focus on community. And it doesn't matter where you are, if you're in the middle of a grocery store, walking down the street, or business, people want to talk. And they want to hear what you have to say, and they want to know who you are. And that's one thing I truly love about that nation.
Oh, that's awesome, too. And we're getting to know a little bit more about Grace Place Farm and Gardens. Mm-hmm. I want to read this little quote I got from the website.
Sure thing.
Grace Place Farm and Gardens began with a big word from God and a wholehearted yes. Although none of our team had prior farming experience, we were full of determination. We trusted God and got to work, learning as we went along. What does this mean?
The big word from God and wholehearted yes, that was kind of a jump of like I shared before, like we didn't know where we were going to be going. But
right.
as we were praying as an organization and a team, many different people at different points had either gotten different, we were all these confirmations of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or had been told that. Now, you need to understand, our team is from all over the nation and and all over the country, frankly.
Yeah.
Many of these people had, almost everyone had never heard of Sioux Falls, South Dakota before. This wasn't like we like all said, hey, what's our top five picks of like where we'd like to go and wrote these down. It was various means. And I think we wrote down a list at one point. It was over 30 different confirmations of things like where it's like, oh, this is clear that God is calling us to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. For none of our team having prior farming experience, I mean, I share this with people. Like I grew up getting to do some very mild gardening with my mom in the backyard. You know, she had her own garden. She had four little 8x8 plots. We'd grow tomatoes, squash, zucchini, green beans.
Pumpkins.
She'd let me help grow the sugar snap peas. And that was my favorite thing to do is grow this up on the trellising. And my dad had a strip of a little potato patch strip between our property and our neighbors. And he had a couple of rhubarb plants that he loved. And so I got to do that, you know, get my hands on there. And I learned, you know, worms are good to have in the dirt because it's good for the soil. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other than that, like, no, I didn't have any experience with that because I grew up with my neighbor. He had a farm. So like, my backyard ended where the barbed wire fence started in the cornfield. You know, it was just right there. So I grew up around that. I had plenty of friends with farms, dairy farms, beef farms, small acreages.
Sure.
And so I got to grow up and see that. And I have really nothing but immense respect for people who farm full time because it's hard work and it's a lifestyle. And these people have been spending their lives feeding the world. I didn't realize how much, you know, even growing up in Iowa, you look at just the amount of food that's actually produced in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of the world, let alone our nation, is immense. I have nothing but wholehearted, just massive respect for the farming community and families who've been doing it for generations. It is incredible. I was walking around our you know, 9.6 or 7 acre property that we have. You know, it's very, very small, very humble. And it's like, well, how can we do this? And our first season, you know, we grew on, I think about, I think it's 7,400 foot garden beds about what we had there. And, we were just following different models and stuff we'd seen on YouTube. And there's a couple like names like Joel Salatin and Dirk Tanner and a couple guys in the homesteading community that were really kind of like setting an example of what that looks like. Joel Salatin, he's a whole nother level, but Dirk Tanner is a gentleman where he's like really focused on what's called market gardening. And I would say that's a lot of like what we've kind of built our gardens around. Mm-hmm. So it's about being able to take what you have, and it's not needing a massive scale amount of space, but being able to take a small scale and going, okay, how can I maximize what I have here without compromising the soil that I'm growing in or the plants that I'm growing in? So we use landscaping fabric and we measure out exactly how far, like, oh, like what's the best amount of spacing for this plant? And then let's see how much we can fit it in this, you know, 100 foot by 30 inch bed. And so I'm growing, you know, hundreds of heads of lettuce in just 100 feet right there. And so so we learned how to do a spring mix by growing several varieties of lettuce. And we discovered how fast radishes can grow and turn around. And cucumbers, and oh my goodness, cucumbers. Like, let me tell you, Sioux Falls, you all love your pickling cucumbers. And I'm here for it. it's such a fun thing. So I didn't even I grew up growing traditional like slicer cucumbers.
But sure.
The amount of people that have wanted like these small little pickling varieties has just been fun. So
interesting.
It's cool. Yeah, it's cool to see what people actually really like and enjoy. And I think just a lot of it has been a lot of trial and error. I know I'm still not getting everything right, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a learning process, but there's so many wins along the way.
We are learning more about Grace Place Farm and Gardens. Mason Prescott, the farm director, is joining us right now. So, Mason, let's talk about the planning of Grace Place Farm and Gardens.
Sure thing.
Finding the land, getting ready for planting season, and maybe questioning a time or two, saying to God, really? You want me to do this?
Yeah.
You want me to start a farm and a garden in Sioux Falls, South Dakota? Kind of run through that process for us.
So for finding the land and the property, we were actually really blessed. We had looked at a lot of different areas around Sioux Falls, and we knew we wanted to find a place that was still close to in town, because we didn't want to be so far outside of town, because we wanted to be able to have direct access to the community here. We had our realtor, and her name was Linda, and she found this property before it even went on the market. And we had looked at several different places, and so she had reached out to us and said, hey, like, we found this place. It hasn't gone to market yet. It's going to be going really soon, but I think you might like it and come out and take a look at it. And when we came out and looked at it, it just kind of ticked all the right boxes that we were looking for. It was challenging for sure, because when I was looking at a lot of the land that it had, again, my experience is you grow on flat surface. Mm-hmm. And if you ever get to come out and see our gardens, you'll see that we grew on a hill.
Yeah.
And that was definitely a moment for me where I was like, is this going to work? Like, is the rain going to like wash everything away if
sure.
it just gets like really heavy? But I've come to find that a lot of stuff we're growing is pretty resilient. And, you know, when you're shaping things up, it kind of works out. And again, it just came to asking a lot of questions of, we have some connections and friends who have other churches and ministries, but are also doing a community garden or a side garden project as well with their ministry. So getting to talk to them, and some guys who really, really know their craft, and getting to learn from them, ask them a lot of questions, and they're going like, yep, you're right on, keep at it. And also, no, don't do that, you know, kind
right.
of shift around from there. So it's great when you have people you can ask questions and bounce things off of. Still, you know, enrolled in the School of Hard Knocks, you know.
Right. And you're just one person in this learning process
right.
that we're talking to right now. There's a whole group of you that's involved with Grace Place Farm and Gardens. How many
sure
people
thing.
Are involved?
So I have my right-hand man, James Bell. He and I tackle the farm full-time. And then along with the church and the ministry, they have their own full-time staff. And they come and they volunteer their time. Boy, it's always a rotating number. It's always such a tricky one to kind of throw down there. But I would say about probably 5 to 12 people.
Oh, wow.
That kind of rotates committed in a different varying levels. So I had one person who comes and they primarily try to take care of our poultry and our chickens, and they spend a lot of time getting, you know, walking around the different flocks.
Oh, yeah, someone's got to catch the chickens once in a while.
Yeah. We get the few that run out there, but, you know, if anyone's looking sick or ill or gets any injuries or cut up or anything, they make sure they're getting bandaged or taken care of, or if anything's off. But then I have other guys who come out, and they're there for just like, hey, like, I'm here to pull weeds, you know, and I'm here to help do some hard work and put in some labor. And or putting up fencing or plowing out the fields with our BCS walk behind tractor, you know, whatever it kind of looks like. So I have just immense love for all the volunteers, and I have other people too who get connected with us or they hear about what we're doing and they're just excited, like, hey, like, can I come out? I love having people out on the farm. So if you're listening, if you ever want to come out and visit, please come out, come find me. I would love to show you around the gardens. If you want to volunteer and give some time, I would love that too. A lot of the getting ready, I remember, sorry, just circle back to that question. Yeah. You'd asked me about that. It was a little daunting at first, but really exciting. There's something that gets me excited about potential. When people, when you, you know, you have a dream or you have a vision that you can start to see as you share about it, the people who dream a lot or think about these kind of things know what I'm talking about, where it's like, oh, there's a fire that kind of stirs up inside of you. Like, oh, you know, there's that anticipation of like what could be done. And I had no idea about how much we'd actually be able to grow. And it, I mean, this season I've had cucumbers coming out of my ears. I'm just stunned at just like how much can be produced from a single seed as it turns into a plant. And then all that produces is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So, yeah. So if we're getting ready for the planting season, it takes, a good bit of work. It's just kind of like timing around, you know, just like most other people, as soon as, you know, the frost is over and, you know, you finally have, you know, that early springtime season where it's like, okay, I can actually start planting in the soil and get those stuff that will be hardy enough to survive. So we tilled up a lot of because there wasn't any previously laid garden beds there. We had to turn up
everything. You started from scratch pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. They had a small fenced-in horse area because they used, looks like they used to have horses on the property. We don't have any horses there now ourselves.
Oh, shoot.
I know. one exciting thing at a time. But we're always dreaming and getting excited about what we could do next. But so they had that there where they had planted some garden space there before, and you could see that. But then outside of that, no, we had to turn up all the ground for the very first time. We had to get our soil tested to see if we needed to amend anything. But that's the beautiful thing about South Dakota is just the growing soil out here is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we really, really live in one of the richest parts of the nation, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
So it's a lot of fun. But also with that comes a lot of weeds with new ground. So that, I have spent a lot more time on my knees pulling weeds because we don't want to spray anything. We've been growing organically to the best of our ability and with a lot of help and guidance along with that. Yeah, that just comes with, like I said, a lot of weed pulling, a lot more than I thought it'd be. So loving landscaping fabric where I can put it down and not having to deal with that.
Right. It's just giving a little extra TLC to the land that you guys have right now for Grace Place Farm and Gardens. Obviously, it's not all easy. Right. Have there been times where you or some members of your team have thought about giving up?
Oh, man. I've definitely thrown in the towel on broccoli. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, really? Is it difficult to grow broccoli?
I don't know if it's supposed to be or not. It has been difficult for me, but I might try again next season. We'll see. But yeah, I think there are a couple points. I've definitely wanted to throw in the towel on a couple points of just like, you know, again, like pulling weeds, like figuring it out. But really, when it comes down to it, no, not yet.
Huh.
I haven't gotten to the point. There's definitely days like, you know, you get tired and you're like, okay, I'm done for today. And,
sure.
James, one of the guys, you know, I mentioned earlier, he works with me full time regularly as well. He's got this phrase that he coined from or took from someone else. It says, you know, you can quit each day. You just have to rehire yourself the next morning, you know, and at the end of the day, like, you know, you can quit, but you have to rehire yourself in the morning. And so
I like that.
It's kind of funny, right?
Yeah. You gotta
kind of psych yourself out in that way. But I really appreciate James. He's an incredibly hard worker and truly a genius behind a lot of the operations. So when it's come to like, oh, like, hey, like, well, how are we going to do this? He's already had three plans because he's watched, you know, three different YouTube videos at 2x speed. So he can like consume all these different ideas and what people have already done put together. And so he's done such a great job at mapping out a lot of the blueprints of what you may see between like, oh, like the trellising or use drip irrigation and just like all these different ideas like, oh, how do we map this out? And yeah, couldn't do without him. Great guy.
Great people behind Grace Place Farm and Gardens. We are talking with Mason Prescott of Grace Place Farm and Gardens. He is the farm director. You have a mission at Grace Place. and it is to grow nutritionally dense food for the neighboring community, operate a profitable farm that generates revenue for reinvestment and expansion, and educate and mentor others in sustainable agriculture. This mission, how did you come up with it?
I think a lot of it just already aligns with some of our core values of just like, you know, we've been given a body, you know, and one of the things that we're told to do in the Bible is to steward what we've been given and take care of it. And sadly, I think a lot of us don't realize what we have to deal with and what we have to really navigate and put up with taking care of our bodies when it comes to being able to buy and consume our own food. We live in America, which is the greatest nation on the planet, you know, and we have immediate access to so many things. And no one wakes up in the morning going like, oh, I wonder where I'm going to, where I can find food today. You know, like we all know, like, oh, I can drive down to Fairway or Hy-Vee, you know. There's probably one easily accessible at least 10 minutes away from wherever you're living here in Sioux Falls.
That's true. You know? It really is.
But what we don't realize is what our food goes through in terms of processing and preserving to have to get to that point. The hundreds of steps that it now has to take to be able to go on the scale from being grown on a farm to actually getting to your family's plate in the home. Because of that, we deal with what a lot of, you probably heard people say, like, oh, eating processed foods, where it's foods that have gone through so much processing, so much that it loses that ability to be dense. So you might, or the classic ones people talk about, like tomatoes or apples, and how, you know, they ship all these tomatoes, but they pick them so green and then spray them with these gases to be able to get them to that red stage. It's forcing it past this. But then beyond that, spraying pesticides in your fields, you know, the dream is that, like, oh, you know, like, well, I'm not spraying it on my plate. You know, I'm grabbing my salt and pepper shaker, you know, and that's what I'm putting on my food. You know, I'm not grabbing the Roundup, you know.
Right.
But the problem is when we apply this stuff to our soil, when we apply this stuff to our plants, it gets in there. Like, that's how it works, you know. And so then when you do that, you know, you hear what you say, you are what you eat. And so you're starting, you're slowly and steadily poisoning yourself. But you know, it's all signed off and it's all okay because it's not bad enough, but it's just, you know, passable there. And we miss out on what was really intended for us to be able to consume and take from the earth. I mean, even when you grow so much in the ground, you actually begin to deplete a lot of in the soil. So you don't take care of the soil, you won't even be able to grow again out of it. You have to be able to let it rest. You have to let it be able to naturally replenish. We've been given a planet that's been designed to feed us and to take care of us. But if we don't take care of that, it can't take care of us either. I really wanted people to be able to know that if they're getting food from us, that it's actually going to be something that heals their body. That's something that actually feeds their body. Yeah. Like they can take it and with confidence go, oh, I can give this to my children who are growing up. They have young bodies that are still trying to develop and grow strong. You wouldn't want to give your child something that, you know, is going to make them sick.
Yeah.
Of course not. Nobody does.
No.
But I mean, for me, I mean, I grew up in a home where I had a mom who cared about what I ate, and I appreciate that. And so mom, if you're listening, I love you and thank you. And I remember that. And she was intentional about making sure, like, I ate vegetables. And so I knew, like, the basics, like, okay, eat vegetables, you know, eat some fruit, don't drink a lot of soda. Mm-hmm. Like, so I grew up hearing, like, a lot of the basic stuff in that regard. But I never really learned and understood, like, the severity or the depth of, like, where we're at in terms of, like, growing food and what actually our food goes through and what really is healthy. Because, you know, we grow up in a first world nation where it's just accessible. I just got to grab it off the shelf and, you know, and that's it. Rather than thinking of, like, man, like, where does our bread come from? Where does our water come from? And, like, what are we putting in these things? And how are we paying attention to, like, how that is actually affecting our body? So, yeah. So my mission, my goal is really simple. I want people to thrive with what they're eating. I want them to be able to eat with confidence, knowing that what they're eating is actually going to feed their body, actually going to nourish it, because that's what it was created to do. So that's my desire for nutritionally dense food, you know, as we call that.
Yeah.
So we're currently on the process of being certified organic. So we're in that, it's a long period of, time of making sure, like, hey, everything's been cleared. Things are tested. Mm-hmm. We've been having a lot of great help from, Dr. Jackson, and she's been guiding us through the process of that, which has been great. I'm not looking to be some big box store or someone, like, kind of far out there. I want to be able to know your face. You know what? Like I said, like, I want people to come on the farm. Mm-hmm. I want them to know us, get to know their community and neighborhood. We've got we're right outside the city limits, right up against a growing development that's continuing to progress because, you know, Sioux Falls is growing on all sides
rapidly.
All the time.
Yeah. Yep.
It's one of the beautiful things about it. And so it's been wonderful to get to meet a lot of neighbors. I mean, we've some neighbors just across the street that I've become good friends with, and they come over often with their little boy, and they've helped watch our chickens too when I've needed an extra hand. And
I'm sure he's a big help with the chickens.
Yeah. So thank you, Dan and Jessica, if you're listening to this. I appreciate you both a lot. The other thing too is just as I've gotten to learn a lot, I want to be able to teach other people and share, like, hey, like, I'm by no means a pioneer in this area. There are many, many others before me that have already been doing this and already been going after it. I'm just jumping on the train and trying to carry the torch where I can. I love Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful city, and the people here are wonderful. And if I can be a source of life and health that's going to feed other families, that's what I want to do.
Grace Place Farm and Gardens here in the Sioux Empire. You just had your grand opening too, Mason, with the store.
Goodness.
How did that go?
Wild and wonderful.
Good way to describe it.
Yes, the whole week leading up to it, it's been a long process of getting everything ready, because there's a lot going into it, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Not just growing the produce, but then, like, you know, we've created a lot of products between jams, jellies, pickles, our frozen chicken, and homemade laundry detergents and sunscreens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Everything.
A wide swath of different products and things that are available. Again, everything made organically and clean. But just like all through the week, that question in the back of my head, like, what if nobody shows up? What if nobody comes? Like, oh, like, how many people are actually going to be there? And we had a, it came to day of, and about 12:15, you know, our opening was going to start at 1 p.m. About 12:15, I think the first couple people showed up. And I was like, oh, wow, like, hey, this is exciting. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, let them know, like, I'm still running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to make sure everything is ready and get set to go.
No pun intended.
And so, none at all. But because I'm trying to want to make sure I'm hosting people, but also realizing, like, oh, I need to make sure everything's ready, you know, for our 1 o'clock official open. So, and as that's been happening and going along, more and more people steadily continue to show up and show up and show up. And before I know it, I've probably well over 100 people stretched in this long line.
Oh,
and
wow.
Cars parked all up and down 41st Street. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, there's already like way more parking than I have right now. And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Just the response of support from the community and all the area, and people excited and interested to be a part of partaking of the fruit of the land, you know, and seeing what we have and mm-hmm. supporting it has just been so cool. Our motto is from farm to family. And I know it's a little bit of a narrow window for some people, but for now, like, I don't want to overcommit, but I'm just kind of focusing on what I know we can do well. But it's been so fun to just get to meet more and more of my neighbors, more people of the Sioux Falls community, and make new friends and make new connections and be able to, again, you know, be a service to these people that are looking for food they can trust,
yeah.
You know, products that they can rely on and know that will actually make a difference in their lives. So.
And it will continue to grow. That is a pun intended there. We're talking about Grace Place Farm and Gardens with Mason Prescott. He is the farm director. Now, I know in the foreseeable future, you will be offering turkeys for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes, absolutely.
And if anybody is interested in that, is there a phone number to call, a website to check out, anything like that?
Yes, so you can go to graceplacefarm.com, and that's our official website. You guys can call in anytime to 605-550-1088. And you can call and you can, one, ask any questions you'd like to. I'd love to chat and hear from you. But if you want to reserve a turkey for your family for Thanksgiving from our farm, we would love to provide that for you. So they're currently growing. You can come out and meet your turkey as well. You can come feed them, pet them, tell them you love them, and to continue to grow fat and happy. But yeah, please do that. We'd love to make that connection with you guys.
I can smell Thanksgiving already.
Yeah, no, tell me. Green bean casserole, gravy.
There you go.
I'm there.
Mason Prescott, Grace Place Farm and Gardens. We are out of time, but we appreciate you coming in and telling us more about this great farm and garden here in the Sioux Empire.
I really appreciate you so much. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to be able to share more about us. Really appreciate Christine.
Sunday Focus is a public affairs program of Results Radio, Town Square Media, Sioux Falls.